The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how many can you fit in a suitcase of these contact lenses for your nose that makes you lose weight?
I'm trying to get past the concept of shoving something up your nose, but for you guys in South Africa who really want a contact lens that you can shove up your nose, I'll make a plan.
Hold on, I don't understand.
I'm ready.
What? Look, Sanati, can we please at least find out what it is before we order it?
Okay.
I just think it's sensible, right?
Yeah.
Let's be mature about this.
We'll try.
Okay. How much does it cost, Rolene? No. just tell us what this is.
Listen, I'm working at the Bar Balkan, you know, make a profit line over here, but let's discuss this thing. It's quite extraordinary. I mean, I had to read it twice when I was coming across this morning.
So tell us what it is.
Okay, so basically it's called the NOZ-NOZ, N-O-Z-N-O-Z, or the NOZ-NOZ, or however you want to pronounce it. I can hear Americans saying it's a Z. So basically what it is a drug-free soft silicone nasal insert that is kind of molded to, you know, fit up your nasal passage. And how it came about is a woman called Adva Beck discovered that when she bit into her favorite fruit, which if you're interested is a peach, and she couldn't really, because her nose was blocked, smell the peach, you know, have this sensory experience with the peach, so she threw it away and she thought, you know, hold on, wait a minute. If I can't smell things properly, then I'm less likely to want to eat them, and maybe this is a good concept that can help with helping dieters achieve their weight loss goals and maintain their results. So she did a little bit of research, and she came up with this device. And she is now the CEO of an 8-year-old company called Beck Medical. And she said, you know, she's come up with this device. It's totally safe. She's worked with the Israeli Association for the Study of Obesity and the head of the obesity clinic at Sharon Hospital. And they've discovered that this is quite a successful kind of device. So what you do is you plonk this. It's like a contact lens, I suppose. You plonk it up your nose. You can wear it from morning till night, and it kind of diverts the smells from food, so that you're not like olfactory intrigued by what you're smelling. I mean, Anna, if I walk past a bakery and I smell that baking bread, you know, it's absolutely delicious.
Absolutely fascinating.
I'm not so sure though.
I'm also not so sure.
Like my memory is way too good. Like honestly, like
you know what that newly freshly baked bread
yes,
smells like.
Yes, when I go past the KFC, I know exactly what it smells like.
It goes back to the KFC and the chicken.
Honestly, so I'm not so sure.
I mean, guys, you can't. I mean. Your memory knows what slap chips with, you know, salt and vinegar smell like.
Oh, I can smell it right now.
Mmm.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And baked bread and all, you know, all these delicious things that, you know, the brain remembers. But apparently that some people are less sensitive to food smells, and this really helps. And it's been quite successful. And if you want to order your NOZ-NOZ, which is your contact lens for the schnoz.
I wish you would call it something
different. Oh, I like it. I've come up with a payoff line, guys.
What's that?
The NOZ-NOZ, a contact lens for your schnoz.
Just the words for this type of thing. Is this like, and this is a real story really happening in Israel?
It's not just real. It's not just happening in Israel, but you can, if you live in the European Union or the United States in Israel, you can already purchase your NOZ-NOZ online. And studies have shown that it has been quite successful.
All right. So there you have it. There you have it. All right, let's talk.
Well, you know what they say, guys, the nose knows.
The nose, yes. So hold on. So Zanati, are you keen or not really? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all
guys,
way
how many of these things am I schlepping?
Yeah.
Maybe we can try it.
Yeah, except who wants a returned one of these? Yeah, that's just unbelievable. Yeah. All right. So let's just talk about, there's a fascinating story that you told me about paintings that were looted by the Nazis were presented in Israel for the first time. Tell us about the story.
Well, they're about to be presented in Israel. I think maybe I typed it up in my excitement. So, you know, as we know, during the Nazi regime, Nazis looted many of the Jewish households and stole valuable artworks and valuable, you know, objets and sculptures. And, you know, over the last 70 plus years, it's taken a lot of time, a lot of research to try and return looted Jewish artworks back to their original owners. And this week, our social equality minister, Gila Gamliel, and German culture minister, Monika Grütters, agreed to bring to Israel the Gurlitt collection. Now, this is a collection of about 1,500 artworks looted by the Nazis and discovered in 2012. And they are going to bring it to Israel for the first time next spring. And the idea of this is to maybe try and see if they can locate some of the original owners. Maybe they're in Israel, maybe their descendants are in Israel. So this exhibition will be taking place in the spring. And it's very, very important because the subject of stolen art is it's about the heritage of Jewish people. And part of this collection are priceless Cezannes, Degas, Claude Monet. There is there's some sculptures, and basically what happened was this collection was discovered in an apartment in Munich and has about nearly 1,300 unframed artworks, and it was found during the course of a possible tax fraud investigation. I mean, it's quite extraordinary. It's something that you can make a movie about. An apartment was rented by a Cornelius Gurlitt, who was the son of a very well-known art dealer and war profiteer. And, you know, this was discovered. And Gurlitt initially refused to cooperate with the investigators. But in 2014, there was an agreement that was reached where his confiscated collection would be returned in exchange for his cooperation with a government task force. And he has subsequently died, and he left his property to the Museum of Fine Arts in Bern in Switzerland. And now, because of a bilateral agreement between Israel and Germany, these artworks will be brought to Israel, and with the aim of perhaps tracing some of its original owners.
Absolutely. It's incredible.
Incredible.
It really is. I mean, you know, to me it reminds me of, you know, the woman in gold and the incredible lengths the family went to get back their priceless Gustav Klimt.
Absolutely. And tell us about Israel sending aid and assistance to the tsunami region in Indonesia.
Well, there's been so many conflicting reports, guys. I mean, we've heard from some people that independent Jewish and Israeli organizations have sent aid. We've been told that the government of Indonesia refused aid. We've been told that some aid workers weren't allowed into Indonesia because they have Israeli stamps in their passports or carry Israeli passports. So there's a lot of conflicting reports. But according to the Israeli humanitarian aid NGO, Israel Aid, they have said that they will deploy an emergency response team to the island of Sulawesi in Indonesia. They haven't spoken about the size of their team or when they will arrive in Indonesia. And as we know, Indonesia does not have diplomatic ties with the state of Israel. But what they have said is that the team will distribute vital relief items, provide mental health support, and conduct an initial needs assessment to determine immediate and long-term needs, including medical care, psychological support, and safe water provision. And along with that, Israel has sent water purifiers to disaster-hit areas in Indonesia through the Red Cross. This hasn't been confirmed by the foreign ministry. However, the public broadcaster, Kan, has said that apparently we have sent our water purifiers to Indonesia. and this is on the back of many countries where Israel has sent very, very big delegations to help countries, including those where we have no diplomatic ties.
There was always an issue with Iran. Even after the earthquake, Israel sent assistance there, although or offered assistance and send assistance, which ultimately was rejected.
Yeah, it saddens me because this shows the humanitarian concerns really should transcend diplomatic issues. But you are absolutely correct. Last year, Prime Minister Netanyahu offered aid to Iran and Iraq, two countries who experienced an earthquake, and Israel does not have diplomatic relations, and both times was turned down. So there are conflicting reports whether or not Indonesia has accepted aid, will allow aid workers in, but Israel Aid, who do phenomenal work and have been recognized by the United Nations, have said they have sent a substantial delegation to help with the tsunami struck Indonesia.
And that's where we leave it. Rolien Marks, thank you as always for some very strange stories, I have to say.